Missed all the "here's your sign." Oh man, that would have been a national seller right there. Except for the first one, me messing it up. We're going to be over today in Matthew 16, the book of Matthew, the gospel. Before we do, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel by which also ye are saved, unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures." Let's pray. Father, I come to you this morning just an open vessel. I come to you, Lord, asking that your word would come off these pages into somebody's heart. And that this morning, Lord, not I would be the one that would be speaking, but you. As you minister through this word, Lord, deep within our spirit, in our heart, God, show us these things in our life that we struggle with. Help us, Father, to be real and honest this morning. And God, that we can leave here different, not just another church service. Lord, I thank you for everyone here today that's come to bless Melissa and this family and all their friends. And God, but today, Lord, make this a life-changing day, not just another birthday celebration, but Lord, that today is the day that somebody makes a commitment for you. And Lord, today, Lord, let this thing be opened and honest, that, Lord, this whole book would become alive and real to somebody, not just another book. It would be your spoken word in Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen. All right, Matthew 16. You know that Jesus talked about signs, and that's what I want to talk to you about today, what Jesus talked about in the signs. In Matthew 16, We're gonna talk a little bit about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Anybody who knows who they are, who they were? Come on, don't get quiet on me now.
Bingy's got her head up.
I'm not allowed to answer.
She's delayed answer. Okay. She'd answer them all if I didn't let her. We need more.
I need two more. That's it.
Okay. Anyway, they're the Pharisees and the Sadducees were the religious sect, okay? They were the church folk, if you per se, of the law, okay? And those guys were they're actually the ones that hollered, "Crucify him." Then most people don't realize that. These were the church folk of that time, and they're trying to trip Jesus up a little bit and trying to get him to admit who he was. And let's look here at 16 in Matthew 16. And so they were testing Jesus, and they said, and we'll read verse 1, "And the Pharisees and Sadducees came up testing him, asking him to show them a sign from heaven." Now, anybody know that we're already over in chapter 15? You reckon Jesus had already showed some signs of who he was? Everywhere he went, Jesus showed signs of who he was, did he not? And he healed the sick. He laid hands on the dead. They rose from the dead. All throughout his ministry. And so these guys, though, were still demanding a sign. The Pharisees came to Jesus and tested him, it says. And it goes on, it says in 4, "A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah. Jesus then left them and went away." Now, that's a pretty harsh statement, isn't it? A wicked and adulterous generation. Now, we're talking about religious people, right? These are the guys that are teaching in the synagogues. Yeah. They're teaching and telling all the people about God. What does it say here? They're wicked, adulterous generation. Now, if you also look, these are red letters, if you have a red letter Bible. Jesus said it right in their face. When he come on the scene, he didn't play games. He was right in your face, wasn't he, Chad? He said, he called them wicked. And it goes on, so they're demanding this sign. Why does somebody demand a sign? Why are these people demanding a sign? He's already been showing them a sign. Isn't it sometimes in our life that we're trying to justify the way we live? Think about this. Why are they looking for a sign? He's already been showing them, right? Well, you reckon it could be because they wasn't living right? You reckon it could be because they're waiting till the last minute? And they really don't want to see Jesus. Because if they see Jesus and they come face to face with Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, guess what? You've got to get real. Jesus is already he's there. He's real. He's in their face, calling them straight out, calling them out. So they really don't want to see the Messiah at this point because most of them are not living right. Why? Because it says they're wicked. They're in their adulterous generation. And it said the only sign that he's going to show them at this point in time, you know what I like about this story is that Jesus says, you know, enough's enough. I've been showing you signs. Uh-huh. It's everywhere around you. Look around. And what does he say? You're not going to get another sign. Except the sign of Jonah. What was the sign of Jonah? Somebody. Anybody who knows Jonah? I bet the little kids even know. Jonah was what?
Swallowed by the whale.
I told you, little kids. There you go. Yeah. Come on. He swallowed that boat. He walked right into that. And then, I mean, yes. Love you, brother. It's good. Here's your sign. Wow. Come on. Wow.
Wow.
Front row. Exactly. He was called man of God, but he was running from God. I mean, know that Jonah ran from God. He went as far as he could run. And he kept running and running. But how many know you can't outrun God? I've been there. I tried to run from him for years and years and years. Doing it Ronnie's way. Living up that wild party life. Doing it the way I wanted to do it. But God said, no, I've got a plan. I've got a plan. And guess what? All along the way, God was showing me signs. He was showing me he had plans for my life. But what did I do? I ignored them. I ignored them every chance I got.
Didn't want to see the sign.
That's right. We don't want to see the sign sometimes. These guys didn't really want to see the sign. They just wanted to know that where the sign was. Probably so they could go and hide or step around it. Y'all know what I'm saying? Can I get an amen in here? Somebody amen. Go with me. Or is this just preaching to me this morning? Come on. The choir, you know. I don't know, but I'm telling you. We do these things. We're all the time. We're wanting Jesus to a point in our life. We're wanting him to that one point in our life. But when he says, okay, I'm here. Whoa, wait a minute now. Hold on. No, Jesus, you said, take up this cross, you've got to die. You've got to follow me. Come on and follow me, I want you to. But guess what? You got to die. He told the rich young ruler, he said, well, what'd I do? Go sell everything you got, give it all away, didn't sell it. Sell it, give it away, and then come and what? Follow me. What did he do? Tucked his head down and went. Why? Because he was so full of self. He was so full of himself and the money and everything else, he didn't want to give it up. These guys didn't want to give it up. They wanted to stay religious.
Yes.
You see, that's what God, this is a prophetic word if somebody hears it today. The church has become religious. It's become a fact that, you know, we want Jesus, but we want him to a point. Wait a minute, we step outside of this box right here now. That ain't right. We ain't done that. Grandpa and Grandma didn't do that over in church. Wait a minute now. Come on. We didn't sing like that. Boy, I'm meddling now, ain't I? You know what I'm saying, though. But Christ is all changing inside of every believer. If he's not changing in your life, in your heart, then something's wrong. If we're not seeing the signs of life and they're right in front of us, guess what? We're just like these guys. We're ignoring him. We're at a place in our life right now. This world needs Jesus. This world needs to know the signs are there everywhere. Look at the news. Everywhere you look, man, it's killing. There's rampant, everything. It was still going on then, but there is signs that says no man's going to know the time when Jesus will return. But it says what?
You'll know the seasons.
You'll know the seasons. Know the seasons. Know the signs. Know the times. What happens is we're oblivious to all that. We just want to, you know, hey, we can honor this and we can do that. We go to church. Listen, and I ain't knocking. I'm glad you're here this morning. Nobody maybe is in this category, but the fact is, it's not about church. It's not about whether you go to church and you're a good person. It's none of that. It's about if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And that one thing is the only sign that you can even see the kingdom of God. The only way, he is the truth, the way, and the life. To get to the Father, there's no other way. It's not a feel-good, it's not all your works or anything else. It's only through Christ. Now, I'm going to go into something here. Peter, there's a place in Matthew, Peter declared that Jesus was the Messiah over in Matthew, and it says when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples right after this in 13, if you look on down in 16, you see, even his disciples didn't know who he really was. You can be a disciple for the Lord and be lost as balling high weeds. Seriously. Every one of them, who did they think he was? They called him what?
Teacher,
rabbi. When the signs were there, he was more than a teacher. He went on, it says in 13, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist. See, they'd rather believe that it was someone who had died and come back. Elijah, they said, John the Baptist. And still others, Jeremiah, are one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say that I am? Nobody said anything. Can you hear it? It's kind of like right now. Got real quiet. Simon Peter jumped up. And he said, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. We had a discussion in discipleship a few weeks ago. I think it was David said, what is that? A lot of people say, get Jesus Christ, and Christ like he's the last name, you know, like Ronnie Haynes, Jesus Christ. But right here it says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. Jesus changed his name right there. You know what Peter means? It says, the rock. He said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth, you will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. You see, God's kingdom is built on faith and grace, but can only be entered into by those who have spiritual understanding and revelation. And I call it my BC days before Christ. Before Christ, I couldn't understand this right here. Thus thou thee. You know, I was taught King James the only way. Well, you go to hell if you don't read King James, you know. And some of you may have been in that, I don't know, religion. It's the same thing that these guys were under, the law. They're still trying to live under the law, and guess what? It's falling flat on their face every day. They were sinning, they were still doubting, but the fact was, he stood right in front of them. The answer was right in front of them, and they still couldn't see it. How many of us know that this Bible, everyone's got a big old, how many's got one of them big old family Bibles, about that big? Everybody, yeah, I'm seeing some hands up. Hey, Carly, I didn't see you. Yeah, they got that big old Bible and the genealogies wrote in there. And I bet y'all, some of them look like these young whippersnappers. They're like, what? Go get you one. Everybody needs one. They're about that big, and you put them on the table. They never get open, and they never get read. Except maybe the first two pages, and you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about her. That's old sister so-and-so. I forgot I was kin to them. But the truth is, the revelation comes through a spiritual understanding. John 3:3. Lest a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here. When Jesus walked on the scene, John the Baptist said, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Because guess what? The king just walked in. Y'all come on, it's quiet in here, but somebody needs to get excited. I do. I got goosebumps just thinking about who comes. And he comes with every believer. He comes inside of this house. You call it a house, what church, whatever. But unless he comes in, then it's just another house. Just like this is another book. And without being born again, you cannot understand this. You cannot see the kingdom of God. It's something outside of your realm. It's something that you will never be able to understand. There's people in here today who's going to be leaving, maybe, I don't know, saying, what in the world was that preacher talking about? But I'm telling you today, there's a sign from up above, and that sign was Jesus Christ, but it's time that he's getting ready to return again. This time he will not come back as the peaceful one. He will come back as the king of kings. And it'll be written. He'll be riding a white horse. And he will take back everything the enemy has destroyed at this world, in this place. And in his name, every knee shall bow, and everyone will one day give an account in this room. That's a fact, and that's just the way it is. Verse 17, Jesus tells Simon that he was blessed because no man had given him this. In other words, Melissa didn't come over and tell me, hey, Ronnie, that's Jesus over there. Right? We're always looking for somebody to tell us or help us. You know, who is that? What is that? Find out yourself. You've got to find out yourself who he is. Mm-hmm. I can preach it. We can teach it. But you've got to want to consciously choose to think that he is who he says he is. He is the Most High God. Ooh, it's quiet in here. I must be preaching too hard. I better go back to some Bill Engle. Here's the side. In Matthew 5, this is in our Celebrate Recovery. We talk about the blessed life. Jesus told Simon Peter right there, blessed. Now, most people think of blessed as happy. And that's good. You are happy when you're blessed, right? There's something deeper inside of this word here. And I've shared it many times here. The blessed lifestyle, the Beatitudes that Christ taught on the Sermon on the Mount or preached, that word blessed, I'm not even going to try to say the Greek word, but it actually translated, and it goes all the way back. When I did searching on this, how many know that when Jesus' mother, Mary, was with she hadn't given birth yet, but she's impregnated, where did she go to? Anybody? Who did she go see? She couldn't talk to nobody, because who's going to believe a woman who is a virgin that's got pregnant? Wouldn't that be a little difficult? This girl's pregnant. That'd be a little difficult, wouldn't it? Hey, I'm carrying Jesus, baby. Jesus is my baby. I'm carrying God's baby. What? So where did she go? She went to see
Elizabeth,
who was
her cousin.
Cousin Elizabeth. Y'all got some cousins like that, right? You know why? Because she's family. It's family here today. Y'all know what I mean. You go to family, don't you? But she went to family, and the first thing Elizabeth knew, Elizabeth was with a child too. Who was that? Who was she with a child with? Anybody? John the Baptist. That's right. And guess what happened? When she walked up, she just walked on the scene. Walked up. Guess what happened? Revelation. The baby John, what? He leapt in her womb. Bam! Holy Spirit, the power from above went inside of Elizabeth. She knew right away. Mary didn't even tell her. She just knew. When you're just brand new pregnant, you don't look no different, do you? Right away. But she knew. She said, blessed are you. That word blessed is the same blessed here. You know why it's different than happy? This is a bad translation in NIV, and I'm sorry, but that's the only thing I trash in NIV. Because that word blessed means the one within. That one within. Christ was in her. She knew she was blessed because Jesus was inside of Mary.
Yes.
That same blessed, what Jesus is talking about here, it's a revelation. It's a spiritual thing. You can't get it by just being happy. I mean, you know, I don't know, I come, y'all know, I'm all open. Y'all know I was a heathen. When I partied hard, right? I mean, I was all in. I was all in. So, what we got to do is understand that when Christ comes inside of us, something's got to change. There has to be change in our life. If there isn't change in your life, then something ain't right. But also that we understand that we are blessed. It's bigger than happy. I can be happy. I don't know about y'all, but I was happy a lot. Yeah, right? I mean, you wouldn't do it if it didn't make you happy, 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 as Phil the Duck Dynasty said. Now, he says it for Jesus. But happy, happy, happy. I was the happy child. But I wasn't the next day when I needed more. I wasn't the next day when I needed more. I wasn't the next day when I was in jail. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on, it's quiet in here. There's a difference right here. Come on, y'all, get a hold of this. There's a difference in this bless than the bless that they're talking about in the happy. This is a bless knowing that, you know, despite what I'm going through, my body may be falling apart, but I am blessed because He that lives within me is greater than anything in this world.
Amen.
Praise the name of Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said. I think he liked tripping them up a little because they was ignorant. I don't know. But he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, how can you be blessed if your spirit, you're poor? Because of Christ living in you. You don't get down because you're broke. You don't get down because the money's funny, right? Or you're poor, you're downcast. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It's hard when somebody you love one. But how can you get through it? Through Christ, who strengthens you. He's the way. You see what I'm getting at here? That blessed, it takes the Sermon on the Mount. Best preached sermon ever and ever will be. And they didn't get it. They stood there and listened to all this and they didn't understand it. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, I'm just on page 2. Y'all in trouble. No, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to skip some. But blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what?
Righteousness.
Boy, we don't like that word, do we? Righteousness. That means I got to be right with God. Ooh, no straddling the fence. For they will be filled. But there's a feeling, see? There's something knowing that you know that you know. There ain't nothing better than knowing that feeling. You know, I'm going to die one day. This body's going to die. But I know my spirit lives.
Amen.
And it has a promise, and it has that promise for eternity, that one day I shall be with Him in heaven. He said it in His Word, I have gone to prepare a place for you. Glory be to God. And it also says in Revelation that those who do the works of the Lord, that they will be rewarded.
Amen.
You see, we're all working and we're doing everything we can. And don't get this be wrong, because y'all got a lot of kids in here. For our kids, for our things that we want. I mean, come on, in our bass boats, our race cars, you know, all these different things. We want these things, you know, but they're temporal. They're all temporal. But when Christ fills us, oh, they something different. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Mm-hmm. Glory be to God. And you go on down through there, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you. Boy, wait a minute now. Are you saying I'm blessed because they're cussing me out over here? Well, yeah. You are if you're born again. Because there's some reason that's going on. I don't know why. But God's either working to test out in you or them.
That's right.
How you respond. How things are going to go in that situation. When Jesus said, turn in the other cheek. Well, they smack you on this cheek, turn the other one. Okay, how about this one? That's a hard one. That's always been a hard one for me. Because I like to fight when they did that to me. Didn't you?
Yeah.
I didn't like it. But God says, greater he that's in me is in this world. Well, I tell you what, you turn that other cheek and then what happens? Why'd you fight me? See what happens then. Well, then you get to testify. Then you get to say, because. Y'all know what I mean. The only time you will begin to understand these principles is when you're saved and born again in the Spirit of the Almighty God. Now, Jesus Christ was revealed from the beginning. From the beginning. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What's that mean? Who's the Word?
Jesus
was the Word. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He was the Word. One of the hardest things, and I shared this in the prison jail the other night with these young men, the hardest thing for some people is to get their mind around Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three are one, but all three have separate
personalities,
purposes, right? But it's a reality. It is a truth. It is what it is. I give them the egg example. You know, an egg, in other words. You say, how can that be? It's just because our minds can't comprehend how big God is from the first place. But also is that we got to understand that He is outside of our brains. I mean, our little pea brains can only comprehend so much. Especially this old country boy, it has to definitely be a revelation from God. But the egg is what? It has what? Come on.
Shell.
Yolk.
And the white.
Now, there's three, but you only see one, right? The shell. You only see the egg. So if that miracle can happen, we ain't going with what come first. The champion, all right.
The kick in her leg, right?
Wait a minute now. Is anybody figuring that out yet, Ron?
I don't know, man.
Y'all get the gist, though. See, we'll think of this like, yeah, I don't know, I guess so. But when it comes to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now that's just, whoa, it trips people up. But the truth is, He was who He said He was from the beginning. He was the Word. But He wants you and I to be, this is what God told me yesterday, the signpost. He's the sign. He wants us to be the signpost to lift Him up to each other and to a lost and dying world. That sign, oh, this is good stuff. I'm telling you, I'm preaching good up here. The signpost does what?
Points to the sign.
Holds the sign up.
Wow.
As a signpost, the sign is just there, you know, without the signpost. So when I was thinking about, we need to get some handicap signs out here, right? Yesterday it wasn't a lawnmower, Ron. It was the bobcat. So, does God speak to y'all on bobcats and stuff like that? Well, He does me. Because you know what? I'm probably slowed down in my mind enough to listen to Him. But anyway, so the signpost and how, through sharing the gospel, reflecting Christ, it says faith comes from hearing, and what? Hearing by the Word of God. So, I got four real quick things on the signpost. Let's talk about that. The signpost first reflect unity. And the value of unity of the believer, it shows that God has sent Christ. It shows that God has sent Christ. John 17:21 says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I, this is Jesus, are one, talking to the Father. He's praying to Daddy. Daddy God, all right? As you are in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me.
Amen.
It shows, number two, it shows that God has loved the world. John 17:23, I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. God always reflects right back to us. His love is still there, but He's talking about unity here. He's talking what it means. So unity is a signpost to the world. John 3:16, for you know, everyone knows that. These guys the other night didn't know who Paul was in the jail, but they knew John 3:16. Because we remember things we want to remember, right? It's a scripture probably taught from a young age up. For God so loved the world that He
only begotten the Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
That's right. Amen. And that God sent Christ who produces the unity witnessed by the world. Ephesians 2 over there. You can look over there also. And so, the importance of unity. Paul says in over in 1 Corinthians, Paul condemned division. One of the things that we have to be careful about here, even here in our family, division. Division comes when people get in the way of God. And when Sally Sue don't like the color of the carpet, or if you have any, you know what I'm saying? And this one does that and that. And next thing you know, it creeps in. We had a young preacher of ours preach here a while back about his sheep in wolf's clothing. He can be sitting beside you in church. So there's always, Satan always uses division to try to come in and destroy the family. And that's what church is supposed to be about. Family of God. So we got to keep aware of that. And so as a signpost, we need to know that value. The second thing, the signpost is of love. The value of love for one another. as we said, John 3, 6. It shows that we have been loved by Christ, whose love we seek to reflect. John 13:34 says, a new commandment. Anybody know what this one is? I give to you that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. It shows that we're truly His disciples. John 13:35. By this, all men will know that you are My disciples if you have love for one another. Now, get this. What does it reflect if we're 1 minute over, brother, amen, and in here, we're, yeah, brother, sister. And then we go out there and we're over here and next day, you come across somebody and, I don't know, they've rubbed you wrong. Maybe you're on the job. And
amen.
So
amen.
What kind of reflection are you giving out then? Are you being the signpost for Christ? An immature Christian, and even sometimes mature Christians, can lose who they are, but doesn't matter that, it says in the Bible, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all do, right? I'm constantly on my knees repenting. I do stuff. But the fact is, where are you going from there? To the next step and the next step. It's real easy to get caught up in the, well, that's all right, Just move on to the next thing. Sin separates us from God. If we have sin in our life, guess what? We're separated from God. We have to repent of that sin as believers and place our faith back in Him all over again. Salvation isn't just a one-time thing. I'm saved daily, Alton. How about you?
Yeah.
We have to be. It's a one-time experience for a believer for what it says to be enter into the kingdom of heaven, but we got to understand that salvation, I don't know about you, but I need Him daily. And so love is a signpost to the world also. And that those who reflect His love and His true discipleship, it says in Ephesians 5, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. One of the things that we got to understand, forgiveness comes right with love. I believe the hardest things for some people sometimes is allowing things in our life and our past to creep back in, or we just put it in a closet or whatever. But there's no difference. To love people, like it said in the Beatitudes, that despitefully use you, despitefully, is that hard?
Yes.
Come on. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. I better start preaching hard again. Yeah, it's hard, but that same love, though, is something that we got to reflect like Christ. And I don't know, I hadn't loved that way, honestly, to the point of being stripped naked and beaten with a cat of nine tails with a whip. That you can still say, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Beaten without recognition. Christ suffered all these things for you and I. He went to that cross for you and I. And He loved us so much that He gave His own life up. We got to keep that in mind every time we come in contact with the adversary. All right, and the third thing, the signage of hope. The value of hope, it can prompt people to ask us questions. If somebody ain't asking you what's different about you, there's probably nothing different about you. Right?
Yeah.
This is simple, right? It's the truth, though. What's changed about you? If that's happening, guess what? There's hope for that person. There's hope, and there's a value in that hope, because that time we get to testify. It says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And what?
We
love not our lives unto death. Well, we got to put ourselves out of the way. I've been sharing this with Alton for years now. We got to take the big I out. What's in the middle of pride?
I.
They ought to make it P-R at big I-D-E. Pride. We got to take the big I out and put the big him in. Because if we don't, then we're prideful. So it's hope is a signpost to the world. And it's important. The last one is good works. The value of good works. They can lead men. In Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Our good works. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean we're giving our money at the church? We're spreading gravel out here or whatever? It can't. This is a good works. But what else? What else is a good work? Come on, somebody.
We do things through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at like what?
Like help people and show them the ways, preach to them, show them that there is God, and help them find that place where so they're not lost.
Okay, good.
Give them direction. Excellent.
Good point.
What about compassion? Having compassion for people, or putting up with people that are very hard to love, or who might have a personality that rubs you the wrong way, or the underdog.
Miss Penny says, love the unlovable.
Love the unlovable.
Love the unlovable.
Just give them all the love you can.
Mm-hmm. And not expect anything.
That's what Jesus did, right?
Amen.
That's what Jesus did. Love the unlovable. Yeah. What would happen right now? I won't say his name. But if someone come in with tattoos all over their whole body, nose rings, eyes pierced, ragged clothes.
Smelly.
Stink. Thinking. What would our thinking be?
Our initial thinking?
Mm-hmm.
What have you been doing?
I would think, where have you been? But that's not what God
would be
God
thinking that he's a bad person.
Yeah, very good.
Good, Connie. Absolutely. We judge, don't we? We immediately judge that person by the outward.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
See, that's what these Pharisees and Sadducees were doing. Because Jesus, every time they tried to trip him up, he'd give them the Word of God straight back. He did that to Satan. He knew the Word of God, so they thought he was a teacher. But they was really trying to trip him up and test him to see really who he was. Now, their unbelief, their undoubts, everything else, but yet we do it every day, judge, don't we? We judge people. There's a story about a guy in a big church, and he didn't shave. He looked like we were talking about, all right, sitting on the front porch, and as the people come by and they come into church, you know, how you doing, brother, sister, all this, and coming on in, and went in, got their designated seats, and, "Whoa, that's my seat, Rod. You're in my seat. Get up. I'm going to." That's where I sit every week. We know that's the way people are, don't we? You know? Whoa, and they were waiting on the preacher. Where's he at? They're ready to sing, get started. We got three songs and a sermon to hear. And all of a sudden, the guy that they all passed by got up and went to the pulpit. And he was the preacher. What if that's Jesus? The Bible says that we can be entertaining angels and we don't even know it.
That's right.
What if he's sitting right beside you? We got to quit judging. We got to have love. And we got to give hope to people out there as Christians, as believers in Christ. That one thing is, there's a hopeless world out there. who are looking for every sign, everything they can find to find some contentment and joy in their life. But the truth is, it don't matter. And what do they do? Why is drugs rampant? Why is sexual immorality? Why is are we killing babies left and right? Why are all these things happening in our life? Well, y'all know. We have to understand that as Christians, we got to rise up with some hope. And we got to reflect that hope. And Christ wants us to be the signpost. That one thing that He said, He told His disciples. Now, here's Jesus at the end. He went on, and I'm going to skip a little bit because I need to here. There was a place that there was over 350 some odd recorded prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. There's like 15 pages of them from the signs of Jonah, all the things forward up to his life. He fulfilled them all. And yet these same people that saw them, heard about them, it was documented, still didn't realize, who is this guy? So what my question today is, what is God trying to show you? What is God trying to make clear in your mind? What is your sign right now? Somebody may be here this morning, and as closing, God's been trying to get you attention. He's been trying to give you direction. He's been trying to, for years, pull you out from under that bad situation. That bad relationship, I don't know what it is, but God does and you do. And you keep doing the insanity cycle over and over again. This time, I got this. I'm gonna go to church. I'm gonna clean up. Drives me crazy when people tell me that. Yeah, I'm going to come. I just got a few more things I got to
get right.
And yeah, I'm going to come visit you one day, Ronnie. One of these days, I'm just going to say, no, you ain't. In my country slang, as Penny says it. No, you are not. I drive English teachers crazy. The fact is, no, you ain't. If you was, you would already been there. You would already been in church. You'd already been on your knees crying out to Jesus. I don't know about you. It took many years for me, and almost either when God got a hold of me, I was in the middle of a drug deal, and God said, right now, he said, this is the time. It was like, you know, I'd been up for days and strung out and trying to find peace and joy and love and all this stuff and everything but Him. Now, as a young child, I knowed about Jesus and I accepted Jesus, who He was, His Savior. But I didn't have Him as Lord. There's a difference. Amen. We need a Lord in our life. And a Lord rules.
That's right.
But we want to rule our own life.
Come on.
We don't want to say, whoa, that's too much. Now, I don't want that Jesus freak stuff. Come on now, I want to be a Jesus freak. I need to be a Jesus freak out, and you need to be a Jesus freak. Don't let anybody kid you, because the only way you can do this is with Christ's help. The only way I can kick that addiction is to call out on His name, Jesus. I didn't have nobody led me in a sinner's prayer. Where'd that even come from? It ain't in the book. I'm telling you, you just call on the name of Jesus, it says, and whosoever calls on Him shall be saved. Don't say maybe. Shall be saved. If it's right in your heart and it's your time, then guess what? You're going to get saved. Because He comes. He comes in and dwells in you. You see, that's what He told His disciples. They didn't understand Him. Peter got a revelation there, like I said, of Him. But he went next chapter, talks about then he went on, he got pride, and he stood up, and Jesus was trying to tell him he's got to go to the cross. And he said, who's going to, you know what Jesus said? Get thee behind me, Satan. One minute he's calling him a rock. Peter changed his name. Doesn't mean that he's going to build his church on Peter, but the rock. The rock is the cornerstone. That's what he meant on Jesus. If our life isn't built on the cornerstone, the rock, Jesus Christ, everything else is just a vapor. It's going to come and it's going to go. Celebrate your life now. Celebrate all you want. Enjoy everything you enjoy, because it's going to come a day when it's going to be too late. These guys, the Pharisees and Sadducees, you know where they went? To hell. That's just straight out. You're either, there's a heaven and there's a hell. If you believe that, you believe that there's a God Almighty, and that one, there's only one way, and that's through Christ. And that one way, and He died on the cross for us, so that we can be forgiven of our sins if we place our faith in Him and we surrender to Him as not only Savior, but also Lord.
Yes.
So, today, I don't know where you're at here. I hope I haven't stepped on anybody's toes too hard. But you know, I told an old man here recently, he got mad at me because I told him that one very thing there. I said, sir, I that's okay you're mad at me, but I'd rather you to hear what I said and have a chance for heaven and eternal life than nobody be honest with you and tell you that you will die one day, and that one day you will stand before God Almighty. And He says, why should I let you into my heaven? What do you think your answer is going to be? It ain't going to be that you're a good man. That don't count. It ain't going to be because I took care of my family and I did this and I did that. That don't count. It's not by works that any man should boast. It ain't because I preached a sermon to you. It ain't because your grandma was saved and your grandpa and you went to church with them. It ain't on none of that. It's only the one sign, and the one that Jesus said that He told them again, that one day you have to believe, just like 3 days Jonah was in the belly of the whale, and then after that, he come out. Jesus did 3 days, what? In the tomb.
That's right.
And then what happened? He rose from the dead. He rose from the grave so that you and I can have eternal life. And if we believe that, we have that promise in Christ.
Yes.
Glory be to God. And then He didn't just stop there. He appeared to them 40 some odd more times after He come out of that grave to prove some more to them. So my question today is to you, what's He got to prove to you? Where's the sign? Are you the signpost? Anybody? Boy, it's quiet in here. I hope I haven't just hurt nobody's feelings, but I hope you've heard me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for these people have been patient to hear Your word. And God, I pray right now, if there's anybody here that needs to know You as Savior and Lord, God, that they'll surrender to You. They'll call on You in Jesus' name, and they'll ask, Lord, they may be rededications here. I know that we go to church as kids, and we have places, but today, Lord, may it be a commitment to You for changed lives, for our hearts. If there's a heavy heart in here, God, You touch and heal that heart. God, if somebody needs prayer right now, they'll just raise their hand and they'll be honest and say, I need You, Lord. I need You, Lord. I need You like never before, like the song goes. And Lord, that we can have assurance. You have given us that hope in You. Now, with everybody still praying, if you're here today and you're everybody's eyes, and there's nobody looking around, this is between you and God. This is between you and God. Normally, I do every eye open, every head forward and looking, because Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. So it's not a pride thing. It's not anything but being honest right now. If you're in here and you need to surrender to Him, if you want to raise your hand, I'll acknowledge it with you. It says where two or more pray and ask anything. God will honor that. He will hear your prayer. And I just want to pray for you or with you. If you're in here and you want to do that, I see hands up. Hands are going up. All right. All over the place. Anybody else? Come on. Don't wait. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You may go down that road right there in an accident. But God says today's the day. Your sign is before you. Hands are up. All right. You can put them down. We're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else before we go on? Bible says if we... Three easy things. Acknowledge we're a sinner. We need a Savior. Place our faith in Him. That's our trust. Put our hope in Him. We can be saved. Now, if that's you today, I want to pray this prayer, and everybody's going to pray it with you. There may be somebody here that didn't want to raise their hand, but their heart's heavy. Let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I acknowledge I'm a sinner.
I acknowledge I'm a sinner.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I place my faith in you.
I place my faith in you.
I want to trust you.
I want to trust you.
I want to know you.
I want to know you.
Not only as my Savior.
Not only as my Savior.
But as my Master.
But as my Master.
Help me now, Lord.
Help me now, Lord.
Save me.
Save me.
I believe what I prayed.
I
believe you died on the cross.
I believe you died on the cross.
And on the third day you rose from the dead.
And on the third day you rose from the dead.
So that I can have,
eternal life.
I'm saved.
I'm saved.
By your grace.
By your grace.
And through faith.
And through faith.
In your name I pray.
In your name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Can we give God some praise here? Praise God. The Bible says if you prayed that prayer and you believed in your heart Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, He's written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's bigger than that family Bible. Right? It's a big old book. So I don't know about you. That's exciting. If you prayed it and believed it in your heart, let me just be the first one, because I'm getting to talk, is to say welcome to the family of God.
Amen.
This is a big family. Thank all y'all for coming. This is an awesome family.